Well, it's got this kind of a deceptive normality. It's a busy, busy city. It's one of the best preserved Middle Eastern cities. It, you know, has its beauty, has its charm, but obviously after 3 years of conflict, it's fading somewhat, and there's a lot of stress in the system because of the conflict. The conflict isn't hitting the city directly so much, although there have been aerial strikes on the city and there have been suicide bombings, but the conflict is having a huge impact on the population.
I wonder if you can give our listeners an overview of what's actually happening there, what conditions are like for the average person.
Well, I think, you know, you have a situation where there's increasingly no potable water, no safe drinking water, and for over 21 million people in the country, 80% of the population, don't know where their next meal is coming from. On top of that, you've got tens of thousands of migrants who are moving through the country, and they are being extorted and exploited and tortured so that their families send money from whatever country they're coming from, be it Ethiopia, Eritrea, or elsewhere in Africa. So there's a racket going on whereby the migrants have, in a way, become part of the solution for many desperate Yemenis, I guess, to survive. So we're seeing a repetition of what's happened in Libya with migrants being exploited as they try to come through.
Leonard, on top of this, there's also a cholera epidemic in the country, which is the world's worst.
Well, the cholera epidemic, we know, is probably going to strike a million people by the end of the year, which is shocking. It's kind of mind-numbing number of people to be affected by it. It doesn't mean that a million people will die, but a large number could die because it's a very, because as the sanitation situation and healthcare situation in the country breaks down, the ability to treat cholera and to get people treated within the couple of hours that they need once they're infected is hugely reduced, especially if there's no clear, clean drinking water. So the cholera may end up killing a lot more people than any conflict does.
And Leonard, you mentioned you're traveling with the IOM Director General, Mr. Swing, and he met with senior representatives there in Yemen. What message did he deliver?
Well, his message is really dead straightforward. It's basically we need to save lives in this conflict. IOM is probably the biggest organization on the ground here with about 600 staff in all the governance of the country. But in order to reach the people, we need to have access for humanitarian aid. And that's quite often for being blocked, whether for petty reasons or for serious reasons, we're not really sure. But the access to the country is a little bit difficult because Sana'a International Airport is closed. You have to come in on a special UN flight. Visas are difficult to get. The ability to work with different third parties and NGOs is often restricted. So there's a lot of bureaucratic obstacles in the way of bringing relief to the Yemeni people who need it so desperately. So that is essentially what the Director General was doing today. He was meeting with authority officials, rather, with the Foreign Minister yesterday, with the Prime Minister today, with the Head of the Parliament, and indeed people in the security side, basically pleading for humanitarian access to save lives. It's very simple.
I'm sure Mr. Swing also met with local people, you know, the average Yemeni as well. He met with citizens.
No, of course he did. Yeah, no, he was out and about, today, and we went to one area where local Yemenis are being given what's called sensitization, or being helped to understand how to react, how to prevent cholera from affecting their families and themselves, and if they are infected, how to move quickly to make sure. This is very simple, to save lives of people who've been affected by cholera if you take the right precautions. So this is a very important clinic. We also saw a distribution of what's called non-food items. In other words, items which will enable people to build a shelter should their dwellings be bombed, for example, or should they be displaced from where they live and they need to build a shelter. We had the kits for that. And then finally, in a very touching moment, he himself gave some aid to some disabled people who had shocking injuries from the conflict. And it was a really, really touching moment, actually, to be providing aid, in this case, provided by the German government.
Leonard, thank you so much for speaking with us. Is there anything further you'd like to leave us with?
Well, I mean, I'd just say that this cannot be the forgotten conflict that, just because it doesn't have quite the same geopolitical interest that other conflicts do, is not on the radar. Okay, it's not affecting Europe directly, but the human cost of this conflict is terrible, and it would be shameful if, just because it doesn't connect somehow or other with northern or developed world audiences, that the people affected by this are somehow not given the priority they deserve. it's a huge conflict. Like, you're talking about 80% of the population affected and food insecure, huge number of people and growing affected by cholera, huge number of migrants coming through hoping for a better deal and ending up being terribly, terribly exploited. So right across the board, this is a conflict that needs international support and visibility.